Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 20 of Radio Radar. We're back after a short break for the holidays. And happy to be back.
Really long break.
I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me in studio is...
Tom Magrito.
Henry Gilbert.
Lucas Sullivan.
And, we're
back. My apologies last week, by the way. So I did what is the dumbest thing to do when you're posting a story, which is select no platforms in our CMS when you're publishing the story. And therefore, it doesn't show up in the content stream.
Nice.
So there was a story that if you searched for it, you could find it. But, you know, you'd never happen upon it.
No.
But if you're an iTunes listener, then you probably don't even come to the website.
You helped our readers build character.
Yeah.
By searching up.
Yeah.
I tried to unplug as much as possible.
Yeah.
We'll get into what we actually played. Okay. But in that, I actually had no idea. The only reason I knew that there was something up was I got a message that was just like, where's the podcast? And I'm like, you know what? I'm unplugged.
Don't give a fuck.
You guys take care of this shit. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, it still made it on iTunes the
day. That's all that matters. So. Just go to iTunes.
No, it was on iTunes, and it was on Games Radar. It just wasn't on the content.
You also didn't tag it as Radio Radar.
Fuck!
I didn't do that today. So even if people went to the Radio Radar archive, which I actually spent like 3 hours making look awesome, it was not there. Wow.
And it is awesome.
But it's a new year. Today is the
Absolve my sins.
Today is the fourth. I got a new watch and it's already wrong with the date.
Well, today is actually the third, but we post tomorrow.
Oh, so cool. So today's
this
is the week of the new year. We're excited. We have some awesome plans for the next 12 to 98 months. And starting with our New Year's resolutions, which was written actually by a freelancer, Sarah LaBeouf.
LaBeouf.
Who did the, which at her last name.
LaBeouf or LaBeouf?
LaBeouf, and which actually means the beef.
The beef.
And Sarah is, you know how like every name means something? It means princess.
Yeah.
So her name is actually Princess of the Beef.
Not bad.
And she got married and didn't change her name specifically because she liked her last name being the beef.
That's pretty good.
And because she hates her husband.
Right. I met the guy.
Little,
terrible ass.
Little insight.
Beats her every
night. He also freelances for us.
Yeah, I know.
And he does.
You pay him on a regular
basis. Fun story.
Basis.
First time I met them both. I'm going into this story despite no one knowing. First time I met them, like she had, I actually used to work with Sarah who wrote the story we're about to talk about. And, she talked about her boyfriend at the time every so often. And then the first time we met him, she had a black eye.
Oh.
And the excuse she gave was she heard it playing ping pong.
Oh.
And he's sort of like a quiet guy at first until you get to know him. So we're just like, oh, God, how do we approach this topic? Fun fact, she legitimately heard it playing ping pong.
And actually, you know, ping pong is a dangerous sport.
Yeah, apparently a paddle broke and hit her in the face.
Oh. You were just sitting there the whole time going like, look, if
how
you
do
want
we approach
to tell me,
yeah.
how do we
you
need to tell me something, I'll...
Because I don't think I can kick that guy's ass,
no,
even though I want to.
He's really tall.
Yeah.
He'd pull my hair.
He's got at least, I don't know, 50 pounds on me. He's a big guy, right?
He's tall.
He's tall.
He's tall. He's lanky, but
he's
tall.
Fat.
No, he's tall.
He's
a tall, lanky guy. He's Luke Brown. He also freelances for us.
Freelance.
Neither of them are abusive or terrible. Well, they're both bad people, but no, they're not terrible people. But I love them, and I cry about them every night. Right. So the top seven New Year's resolutions all gamers should follow, starting with number seven, which is don't get too excited for games that are probably going to be delayed or canceled. Now, I am as guilty of this as anyone. My most anticipated game of this year was probably of last year. I made that mistake.
All right.
You keep doing it.
Brothers in Arms Furious 4.
Really?
Yeah, guess what? That game's probably not happening.
Ever.
No, but that's the rumor. It might come out as Furious 4 with like sans Brothers in Arms, but that's just not happening. Yeah. So I am personally trying my best to do this, and in that, I've totally written off The Last Guardian.
So the difficult thing about this one is you really don't know. Like
sometimes you kind of know.
I mean,
Furious 4, we shouldn't have. There was no reason to know because they're like, here's the game at E3. It's playable. It's pretty much it's done.
Right.
Like, and then
Gearbox ships game.
Yeah, there. Just like Colonial Marines.
That game especially too, because it's not a full. It doesn't seem like it's a full game. I think it was more of like a multiplayer.
It was a 4-player co-op kind of.
Yeah.
Essentially, Borderlands. It was going to be a World War II Borderlands, except linear. It looked cool, and then it didn't happen.
And
but
it
like
had like an Inglorious Bastards element to it or something.
I think they expected Inglorious Bastards to be a lot bigger than it was. Like people would just still be talking about it.
Yeah.
I still watched it. I watched it this week.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Everyone's watching it because of Django.
But I mean, a game like BioShock Infinite, like I would think that would come out. There's no reason why it wouldn't come out.
Yeah, and then it's hard to think back. It's like original BioShock did get delayed, but not heavily.
Right.
So there's no I'd imagine they'd ship, and then they didn't. But sometimes you can kind of. This year is sort of a weird year because We talked about it earlier. There's a good chance that all of the big games that are supposed to come out this year will, because if they don't, they're screwed.
Yeah,
they have a hard out.
In the past, we
because you know last year was there weren't that many games.
Right,
they got delayed to now.
Because they got
but
delayed,
not, but they're screwed because next gen's about to come. You can't release after the next gen unless you're a next gen game. The PS2 had a bunch of games like that. None of them did all that well.
Yeah, well, Chrono Trigger came out. I'm going back to SNES days with. I don't know why I'm going to... Well, we just wrote that article.
Yeah.
That came out after the new generation was here.
Did it? After the
N64? After the PS1, not the not after N64.
Yeah, but you're looking at like a full new generation. I mean, think about last gen into this gen. The only real game that did that was God of War 2?
God of War 2 is an excellent example.
But, but that's a first party... Like, you're not going to see Tomb Raider succeeding next... This like, anything that gets delayed, you can pretty much assume that it's going to be... like. It's going to be delayed 3 months and then a year and a half while they add three more pixels to call it next gen. Right.
That's why everything we know about is for this year, pretty much everything is out by May.
And the only ones you can probably be, you can, I'll say for this one, for the number seven thing, don't get excited for any Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones that are.
Pikmin, I can see getting delayed. When is that supposed to be out?
Well, it already has been delayed. They were saying, it'll be out before March, and now it is not going to be out before March.
I have a feeling we're going to, like, they're, like, something of this, like, some, like, Smash Brothers, Zelda, Mario, something for November is going to come out in April for Nintendo.
Well, Smash Brothers, what they did, they announced that, like, in 2011 with just Iwata saying, there will be a Smash Brothers, and everybody's like, yeah, Smash Brothers. And, like, they haven't shown screen one of it.
And they actually hinted that they started it, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to start it until Kid Icarus ships, because for some reason we can't start making character models until this guy's in the room.
That's totally true. And you can actually tell, sort of, if, and this is kind of going back to the point you were making earlier, because a lot of times the companies will put a game at the end of their fiscal year. So if they don't ship that game and make any money off of it, then their stock price is going to tank. So you can almost approach it from a business perspective.
Sure. And you can also just look at like any just look at history, like Rockstar for I think the past 4 games has announced we're going to be releasing in 2010. Mm-hmm. And then in December they're like, did we say 2010? We meant like March or May.
May.
Like every time they always, because they just want to scare people into not releasing their games.
So, you know what I really want to happen? I want Half-Life 3 to launch and I want it, I want to find out that it's available by going onto Steam and being like, oh, I can buy Half-Life 3?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, I don't know.
They
don't
have
other
is
game.
Less exciting than you might imagine. Because that something similar happened with League of Legends, the Dominion mode. They were like,
no,
oh, this
that
is
totally
not
for people that care.
No, that is totally different. Something like Half-Life 3, though, it's like you don't actually need, Valve doesn't need to promote that game at all. They just
it'd be an interesting experiment to just be like, by the way, this game is out.
Yeah.
Now that our industry
very
is so obsessed.
Very few franchises can support that.
Yeah. I think Half-Life might be one of the, because you need digital to be like the most important thing, otherwise it's going to leak.
And they've already established that trend with like iOS games.
Yeah,
so
that's happened
that's
tons of times.
Happening.
I feel like Infinity Blade 1 was like that, or like one of the, like some games like that is like, hey, Infinity Blade 2, it's out.
It's out right now.
Get it.
Right.
But don't get too excited because everything's going to be delayed and your dreams are going to be crushed. Number 6, avoid buying large launch hardware and software. And this year is probably the most important year to try to heed that advice.
So software, what does that mean?
Games. So don't buy it. Let's say theoretically you're like, you know what? I'm kind of interested in Far Cry 3, but I'm probably not going to be able to play it for a week or two. Wait, because there's going to be a patch and it's going to be $20 cheaper. Yeah. Hold off on buying games unless you're like, I'm going to play this the second it comes out, and I have nothing else to play.
And nothing else going on in my life. I'm a miserable, despicable individual. This is where I'm at.
The degenerates that listen to this podcast probably fall into that
category. Probably don't even need to go down that path.
I made them the two previous Assassin's Creeds, I reminded myself, like, no, wait 2 weeks, and it'll be on sale for Black Friday. you don't have to buy it day one, and it'll be $40 instead of $60.
More importantly, it'll be patched.
Yeah, and patched. Well, the previous ones didn't need patched. Only AC3 was broke. But meanwhile, with AC3, that one I did buy launch day because I was stupid.
Yeah, and I actually, in my entire life, have only followed this advice once.
Yes.
And it was when I noticed that game that I kept buying collector's editions for games that I wouldn't play. And then, like, 3 weeks later, those collector's editions would be, like, liquidized pricing. Oh. And it was Infamous 2, which I was super excited for, and I held off. And the collector's edition was, like, $30 at GameStop a month later. So the only time I ever actually listened to this advice, it paid off incredibly for me.
Infamous 2 is free through PS Plus?
So you've waited the exact correct amount of time.
Exactly. I recently downloaded it. Of course, when it's free, you probably won't end up playing it because there's no... Ever. I don't know. There's
Infamous?
No,
is it free right now?
Infamous 2 is free right now.
Do you have it, Lucas? Get it. No. It's super good. You can skip the first. Infamous 2 is really good.
Also, I had, speaking of PlayStation Plus doing that, that happened with me with the PS Vita positively, where I didn't buy the Vita on launch day. Waited till the Assassin's Creed bundle came out. And then, like, days later, they announced PlayStation Plus for the Vita, and I got pretty much every game you'd want for the Vita free.
So we should.
But then you didn't wait 2 weeks later when the price was cut $50 off.
We should probably disclaimer this with if everybody did this, this industry would die.
Oh yeah, but at the same time, it sounds ridiculous. But seriously, stop cutting prices so fast.
Yeah,
you're making me feel miserable for buying games.
Have some faith in your...
And obviously, I mean, we don't have to explain why you should wait on hardware. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, the Wii U actually launched pretty well, seems like.
But all
there was
considered.
Still, like, a lot of the big features weren't in it.
Gigantic
download. The
installed
base is going to put... Or the amount of games that are out there will lead you to buying games that probably shouldn't be bought.
yeah.
Because you just have no other options.
I thought I came really depressing. Close to buying Tank Tank Tank.
Really?
Yeah, and like if Tank 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 would have been like an Xbox 360 release, there's no way I would have even considered it. But like I looked at it on the shelf and I'm just like, huh.
Tank Tank Tank.
When we played it during the 24-hour marathon, or when we played it last, my character was a giant monkey, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
No, what am I doing?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I took so much shit for saying that game was ridiculous.
Oh, no one denied it was ridiculous. Yeah. You said it was horrible, and it was super fun.
No, I said it had its time and place with like a five-year-old, a group of five-year-olds and their dad.
Which is essentially what our staff is.
Exactly.
Dad.
Oh, shit. All right.
I guess so, yeah.
Number five. Wait, nope. Yes, number five. Don't expect a franchise to change. This is sort of a commentary to commenters.
Uh-huh.
When you comment of, wow, this Call of Duty is the same as the last four Call of Duties, guess what? It sold a billion this time!
There's a reason why it's the same. People like that game. And they're
also
not going to dramatically change it, because then everybody who liked it will be very alienated.
And guess what? You had if in Call of Duty or Madden, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
If you want something totally different, then buy Far Cry, buy Max Payne, buy something like that.
Start playing DayZ.
Exactly. But if you're buying
right on.
If you're buying Call of Duty and expecting anything besides Call of Duty, like if it's a shitty Call of Duty, that's a different story. You have every right to complain.
But if you're expecting like Call of Duty with like giant Battlefield 3 size maps, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Horribly wrong.
Horribly wrong.
Really, really, really badly wrong.
Yeah. I mean,
sort of wrong.
The real argument there to make is there's like complaining that there's no new IP or complaining that some new IP is basically just ripping off like Call of Duty. That I could see as valid.
Or but, that Activision keeps doing this thing where they'll make Call of Duty and then another shooter and release them on the same day and then close the studio that made the other shooter. That's totally a valid complaint. They should probably stop doing that.
Wait, what did they do that with?
007, Singularity, 007 again.
Yeah. in all fairness, 007 was...
The 007 games are like, it's like being the Defense Against Dark Arts teacher at Hogwarts. It's like you're going to be told, you're going to be put in charge of it, and then the next year you're gone, and they have to find a new person to make
it's
it.
It's a cursed position.
Yeah.
Oh, I will never get a Harry Potter.
Did any of you guys read the Bobby...
it was an okay one, I promise.
Recently, there was a Bobby Kotick like profile in a major newspaper. I forget which one it was, but they talked about how he's kind of he tried not to be hated, but he just couldn't do it. Now it just went into talking about how he's like newly divorced, and he says like the first it's hurting his dating life because the new like do a Google search on him, and the first thing is like the devil or I hate this man, and it's really starting to get.
I'm hoping that
I kind of want to read that. Do you remember where it's from?
It's an easy search.
Just Google it and go to the one after the devil horns. Yeah. I'm kind of hoping that within 5 years, Bobby Kotick ends up being the Vince McMahon of the game industry, where he just, like, he hosts press conferences and he makes all the other developers come up and kiss his ass on the stage.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just hoping he just fully embraces it. Like, I'm the CEO! Raven Software, kiss my ass!
The difficult publication you were thinking of is the New York Times.
See, that was that was the one I thought it was, but then I thought... No, that's too obvious. I'm probably just thinking that because I want to say something like the New York Times, but not it. But anyway, it's a good story. Read it, guys.
Bobby Kotick.
Just came out. Second Google search.
Behind the devil horns.
I think it's Kotick.
Kotick?
Kotick. Yeah, Kotick? Maybe you're right.
Kotick?
So, like, he hasn't even... It's also about him taking a step back from the spotlight and, like, their new CFO or some guy right below him is becoming
Hirschberger?
More of the... Yeah, I think that's it. He's becoming more the face for the...
It's a mean burger right there.
Harsh!
But he's becoming more the face for the company because he doesn't say things that make him sound like a money-hungry monster.
Yes. And we have friends at Activision. We're toning it back down.
Yeah. I'm not saying Kotick is that. I'm just saying it's the impression.
Yeah, it's like, because I actually kind of want to go back. Remember when he said, like, we're not going to release games that we can't exploit, so we're ditching Brutal Legend and Ghostbusters. Guess what? Neither of those games ended up being good enough that you're allowed to still be angry at him about that.
Yeah.
Like, EA... he actually kind of made the right call business-wise. They were both financial disasters.
I'm glad EA published Brutal Legend, but it wasn't a success. Economically, it didn't do good. It
sure didn't.
Atari, and whoever heard of Atari, they published Ghostbusters, and now they're in real trouble.
Do they exist? Reality? I thought they were done, officially.
Atari?
I thought they still
makes
sort of exist.
What did they do? Do they make any console
stuff
anymore?
No.
Number four, stop being a fanboy or fangirl.
This
is a difficult
good
one.
From Bobby Kotick sucks.
Yeah, right. This is a hard one. I used to be, hello, my name is John, and I used to be a diehard Nintendo fanboy.
Really?
To the point where I'm sure somewhere on the Game FAQs message board, somewhere in the history, you can find a post from me predicting that the GameCube's superior power was going to obviously make it a step up from the PS2. Now, I understand that the Xbox was a more powerful one, but if you remember, the common weapon to use against the Xbox as a GameCube fanboy was, it's just a crappy PC.
Yeah. Totally
so,
right.
After a year or two of failure, Microsoft's going to release a keyboard and mouse peripheral on the Xbox.
Oh, burn!
And it's going to end up failing.
I was imagining...
Somewhere, there is... There is that. And my name was Hacka316. I think I eventually got banned. So it might not still be there.
I was doing the same thing on the IGN message boards as Nintendo fanboy going, like, but angrily shouting back at Xbox fanboys going, like, just because Microsoft bought Rare doesn't mean that Nintendo's finished. They'll be fine. Microsoft sucks. You wait.
I think I was
MSS being a dollar sign.
I think I was an EverQuest fanboy when World of Warcraft came out.
Ooh,
that's losing battle.
Yeah,
right
that
there.
Is the only fanboyism. Like, oh, it's for babies. I can't believe there's not permadeath.
They're watering it down.
Yeah.
Making it for casual nubs.
Nubs.
Remember Lamer? Remember when people used to use Lamer a lot?
Lamer, I remember that.
We need to bring Lamer back.
I also remember calling Netscape Nut Scrape.
Were you ever a console fanboy of any kind?
I don't know if I've ever... See, I feel like you can be a constructive fanboy of building up your own side without ragging on the other
That's
guys.
Fair.
Yeah. That's like positive racism.
Well, it's not white power, it's white pride.
Right.
I'm allowed to be proud of my race.
Asians are good at math. You're like insinuating that everyone else is bad at
how is that the same at all?
That's fair. Or, PCs are extremely graphically powerful. That's like saying that the other systems aren't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't point out the positives if there weren't negatives.
And everyone else.
You're the worst of us. Actually, another fanboy thing for me. So I got a PS. I got a PS1 was my first, not my first console, but it was my that gen. Got a PS1 and went over to my cousin's house, and we were on, I think, a different message board. And people were, and he had an N64, and people were complaining about the PSX. I didn't make the connection that PSX was the PlayStation. So I'm like, PSX sucks! and 64 for life. And then I realized I had a PSX, I was just like, oh shit. So I got an N64, and then I like never played my PlayStation again until years later.
You locked it in the basement.
Which was a good call, because the main thing I was using it then for was wrestling games. So
I thought you were going to say listening to CDs, because that's what I used.
I mean, the N64 wrestling game.
Yeah. Oh, PlayStation was my first CD player.
I bought some really bad games in the N64, just completely.
Did you buy that one that was like, it was a black cartridge, and it was essentially a crappy version of Starship Troopers?
No.
It was like Perfect Dark except fighting giant bugs. It was
so
bad.
Oh, my God. Bioharvest?
No.
It wasn't an Earth Defense Force game.
No.
I'm
sure it's in my parents' basement. I'll go find it.
But what about War Gods? Remember that one? That was pretty bad.
I managed to get StarCraft.
For the Noobus?
I played StarCraft.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, God.
Unforeseen.
And I thought it was just as good.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. My 12-year-old character, or however old I was like, yeah, not bad. Yeah.
As I mentioned before, I played Diablo on the PlayStation 1. So I played Diablo.
We are the worst.
Real experience.
But in 2013, we're going to stop being fanboys, we swear.
Totally.
At one point, somebody accused us of being fanboys for leaving Final Fantasy 14 off of our best MMOs list.
Really?
And it was like, you realize that Square's CEO apologized for this game. He said himself that their reputation was irreparably damaged.
He fucking bowed to us.
And yet you are being like, come on, it's better than all these games on this list.
Yeah. I still like 11 in my heart of hearts.
Oh, 11's so bad.
It's not better
than EverQuest. It's an acquired taste.
Number three.
No, please don't hurt me, Tom.
Attend a convention and cosplay because... YOLO. God. Now, I need to explain this to the commenters. Yes, it was being used sarcastically. I don't understand how any of the commenters didn't understand that.
So, there's a GIF out there that I probably should have saved for you of, like, a pug knocking off a bunch of, like, shampoo bottles from a tub. And just, like, he's sitting, and then clearly the owner says something, and he just goes nuts knocking them all off. And then it says, like, YOLO.
I'm
like,
so
fuck
happy
you all,
right
you
now.
Bottles. YOLO.
I don't like when people don't get when you use it sarcastically. I did, too, recently when I was taking a midnight BART back into the city. BART is the city's mass transit system. It's a subway.
Area rapid transit.
When I was taking it, I was, you know, happily playing my DS. And I hear, like, a splash. And I'm like, well, that's weird to hear a splash on the BART, like, through my earphones. I look over my 3DS, and the guy in the seat in front of me just threw up. Just, like, just put his head to the side and went, and, like, I heard the splash of it hitting the thing, and, like, a little of it hit my shoe. And then I tweeted, like, wow, this guy in the BART actually just threw up on my shoe. Hashtag YOLO. And then people were like, why are you using that stupid hashtag? Like, come on, why?
I think YOLO is pretty funny.
It's funny used sarcastically. Yeah. It's not funny. It's also funny to you in the opposite way. Like, no, I'm not going to drink all night YOLO. Like, I only live once. I'm not going to waste my time vomiting. Anyway, attend a convention and cosplay. I've attended plenty of conventions. Everyone in this room has attended several conventions.
I don't think you have to cosplay. You could do that if you have extra flair.
Well, he's
going to
tell you why.
I will tell you why you should cosplay. If you're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's your in for the ladies.
Do it.
Oh,
also,
you just...
it's fun. You get to do it. And then, bam, Halloween time, you're done. You're set. You have your Halloween costume.
That's true.
That's the thing about cosplay. So they like to have a rotation.
I'm not saying be a full-time cosplayer.
Oh.
I'm not saying email Lucas Sullivan saying you want to be the next Games Radar cosplay spotlight. I'm just saying go to the store, buy some paper mache. And make a gold or make a green diamond to put over your head so that you're a sim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Truth be told,
treat yourself. Do it up.
YOLO. YOLO, buddy.
That's right. YOLO. Has anyone here cosplayed?
No. Mm. I don't even dress up for Halloween.
Has anyone here dressed up as a video game character for Halloween?
No.
I know you have.
Wait, you this Halloween you dressed up as some
Tanuki Mario.
Tanuki.
Oh, Tanuki Mario.
You
I guess.
Literally
that
did
was,
it like
that
two
was
months
an
ago.
In office one though. I didn't go to a party. Like, okay, yeah, it's fine.
You did not masquerade.
I did
on
dress
the
up like Mario. That's true. And in my teen years, I dressed up as characters from my favorite cartoons. Like, I think the most obscure one was if you've seen the anime Ranma 1/2. A very mostly unseen character was his principal, and I dressed up as him. He was in two episodes of the show.
Did you expect people to know?
Definitely not. That was part of the point. I was like, you guys won't get it because I'm so cool.
It opens a dialogue.
Yeah, I think one of the very rare times when I've dressed up as anything was Oddlaw. Waldo, Where's Waldo's
evil twin. Nemesis. I remember that.
Yeah. I was doing it for like a scavenger hunt, running around San Francisco dressed as Oddlaw.
That's clever. Because a lot of people are going to dress like Waldo.
Right.
That's out.
I was happy. I was with somebody who was Waldo. So
okay.
It worked
out.
But anyway, as to conventions, this is an easy one because one of the best ones is PAX. And it's barely.
Both coasts. That is like by far one of the best ones.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of, it's the only one. At one point, I think it was Will Wheaton said that after when he leaves PAX, he feels homesick.
Yeah.
And if you go to PAX for a few years, you understand.
He's a bit melodramatic.
Yeah, but that's a good way to put it because it's like, in that building, everyone's going to get every joke you're going to make.
Yeah.
You know in that building, everybody likes the same stuff as you're going to like, and there are thousands. There's like 50,000 people.
You know that everybody's going to look like Notch.
And it's much better than a lot of other, like, certainly better than Comic-Con in San Diego because that's got
that's
like 150,000 people. And lines are 4 hours long. You're not even really assured to see anything.
It's also probably better than your local conventions because when I lived in Philly, there were two, and they were both abysmal. One year, the big person that was supposed to be there was Twisted Metal
David Jaffe,
and everyone went into the room for his panel. And then somebody walked in and they're like, actually, it's an audio panel. And they put like a laptop and plugged in a microphone.
Oh my God.
20 minutes later. Oh, wait, he canceled.
Oh.
It's like,
wow.
All righty.
But yeah, I would say the best convention, in my opinion, is BlizzCon. It's hard to get into.
Really?
Here's the thing, though.
No. So BlizzCon, you are assured, almost assured, a free concert. Like, I interviewed Ozzy Osbourne at one of those.
Which is pretty pro.
And there was also Tenacious D with Dave Grohl at one of those. Plus, you know, all of Blizzard's games.
And you should go... while you can,
plus,
because this year, or 2012, there was none.
I mean, they have
Who
it.
Knows?
They have it when they need it. I mean, the other thing, too, about that is they have Dragon, what's-his-face?
Dragon, what's-his-face?
No, the guy who was in... that comedian...
Oh, Jay Moore.
Jay Moore, hosting that talent show that they have is...
He's actually supposed to... I mean, I haven't watched it, but he's supposed to be, like, legit... getting the humor of the community.
He's pretty funny.
He's better than Jamie Kennedy.
I forgot that guy exists.
This marker on the table has made better punchlines in the last 24 hours than Jamie Kennedy has in his life, and no one has used it.
As far as E3 goes, I don't think you're really missing anything by not going to E3.
I'd love to start cosplaying at E3 and be like, hey, guys, I'm just doing my job cosplaying.
It's not really even a convention. It's more of a expo.
I was so... At PAX, here's one thing that really bugged me at PAX that... I thought it was cool for other people, but not cool for professionals to be doing. At the Far Cry booth, they would shave your head like Voss and spray paint a 3 on your head, and you'd get a free copy of the game or a voucher for it. And that was cool for fans to do, but they were in the press room. Then, like, there was this squad of, I don't know where they were from, but there was a squad of guys who kept coming in like, hey, look, man, I got it done too. Let's all get it done. Like, you're making yourselves
This is essentially Dorito Gate all over again.
Yeah, these guys were making themselves an ad for free for Far Cry. Did not like that.
But yeah, so the other thing about E3 also is just everybody is so fucking stressed out at E3.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
No, I mean, from the press side, because we just have a lot to do, and from the development side, because it's so important that they make a very, very good impression, that everybody is just, like,
pins and
needles. You can just feel it in the air, and it's just a very uncomfortable,
they need to just, like,
anxiety-riddled...
pump some kind of drug through the ventilation system.
Like a pheromone that they do for cats and shelters. They just pump that shit in the air and it calms them all down. That's what needs to happen at E3.
The people I feel worst for at E3 are the dancing girls, the ones who have to demo Dance Central or Just Dance.
See, I don't feel as bad for those. I feel bad for, like, one year I saw a guy who looked like he was a gamer because he was looking around a lot, and he was, like, tethered. Like, he was not allowed to leave a little kiosk showing a Barbie game.
Oof.
And it's like he got into PR because he likes games. He's at E3 and he can't leave the Barbie booth.
Well, invariably he's the lead producer on Sims now, so
probably, yeah. Number two, complete a co-op game with your significant other. I guess it's also added that if you don't have a significant other, find one to play a co-op game with.
Craigslist. $100.
Yeah.
Someone will come over. You might be able to have sex with her after.
It's those ads in the back of the free weekly.
It'll definitely be a heat, Tom. Let's not kid ourselves.
So I've done this on several occasions. I played through all of New Super Mario Brothers for the Wii with my now fiance, without knowing that you could hit the one button to turn one of you into a bubble, which makes it much less frustrating, and played through all of New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, and there were points while playing through that that I threatened to leave.
To break up with her.
Yes. If she...
I will leave you.
I said I will. I seriously will leave the apartment and may never come back if you do not stop fucking me over. Like, I would be like... I actually, at one point, I was playing...
So basically, that game brings out what you actually want to say to her.
Yeah, there'd be times where I'm just like... I'm like... I there was one time, because as you play on the tablet, you can make blocks that can, like, actually screw over teammates. And at one point, she said, she's like, screw, I'm Magic Koopa. I can create blocks. I am playing as Bowser now. I'm going to kill you. And she got me killed 5 times in a row. And I remember just looking at her and being like, I think I looked at her in the eyes and got like furious. And I said, I'm never going to hit you. And I just, that's all I said. Like I just looked at her dead in the eyes and said, I'm never going to hit you. Like, cause that's all all this anger and that's all I could say.
It probably wasn't a hit that you were thinking of, but definitely just like a grabbing of the head and just like smashing. So it wasn't
Make your head hit a block too.
Yeah, it wasn't probably as pedestrian as just hitting her in the face.
But that is what I told her. Yeah. She found it funny. I didn't. So, but
which made matters worse.
But seriously, you should do this.
But in the end, you were closer than ever.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
if you didn't hit her then
yeah, what could she possibly do? I could walk in on her and 50 guys and it still wouldn't be as angry as that time she got me killed 5 times in a row in that fucking level with the green platform that goes all the way up a giant castle.
Oh god, those are the hardest.
How weird would that be? Walking in on your fiance with 50 guys.
It would actually be kind of impressive, and yeah. I'd figure there'd have to be more to it. Like, are you in a movie? Are we rich now?
Yeah. Anyway, couch read. I think it's also this injury is kind of about just rediscovering the fun of couch co-op.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
Just connecting with another
50-man orgy. Casual couch co-op. That's fine.
I was trying to get us back on track.
It's fine.
Anyone else ever play a game with someone they or even like a family
good friend,
a good friend the whole way through,
a brother, a sister,
the wife, a couple times.
What games?
Nothing doing. Rayman Legends. Or what was that? Rayman Origins. Rayman Origins.
Everybody loves
Rayman, not Rayman. Rayman.
Whatever. Rayman. I feel like there has to be some others.
Let's see. I recently reconnected with old Games Radar editor Charlie Barrett playing New Super Mario Brothers 2 together on the 3DS. We were like, man, this is awesome.
Man, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Have I told you that recently?
That's the only
thing. Yeah, I play a lot of games with my fiance, and usually only platformers are the ones where it ends in delusion. I don't know where to hide bodies. Meant like that going through my head. But the other ones are usually, it's pretty fun. Once if you have a good connection. Together?
We have.
No, we play like MMOs. Oh, it's essentially a co-op experience, yeah. Like playing through an entire MMO together.
We have a feature on GamesRadar.com.
Do we know?
That's like...
how to get your significant other into gaming. Or something.
That is a thing that exists. There you go. Number one.
Ooh, that's a feature we should... I'll talk about that later.
All right. Number one. You're going to forget it. You should write it down. Here's a marker. Okay. Number one. Play a genre or franchise you hate. I love this one.
Really?
Yes.
Sounds a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that I hate JRPGs. Some of my favorite games are JRPGs. Some of my best friends are JRPGs. but Persona has always been a game that I'm like, I am not an otaku nerd. I'm not going to walk around Japan making friends with schoolgirls and fighting with giant monsters. And I started playing it. And I think yesterday I told Henry that my main concern with the game is that if they released a version without any combat where I actually just walked around Japan making friends with schoolgirls and guys and just hanging out, I'd probably buy that game.
They're called
and I've become everything that I've hated.
So,
but it's also opened up. Like I'm like, man, I want to go back. There are so many games I've skipped just because I haven't wanted to jump into an 80-hour-long JRPG. And I'm playing through this, and I'm like, I hope this game never ends. Mm-hmm.
And that 80 hours is literal. I am at 76 hours on PS4.
Holy
right.
I'm trying to think of a game I've played that's not two type. Inside joke. And
EverQuest?
I feel like I'm always...
I'd love to see you try... have you played Wind Waker? I know you're not a Zelda fan.
I'm not a
Wind
Zelda
Waker
fan.
Is a great game. Mm-hmm. It's also it's everything that you probably hate about Zelda,
uh-huh,
but it's done really, really well, so you might not hate it.
Now, okay, what about playing games that are universally hated?
That's not what this is about, because that's just playing bad games. I think this is more
playing
like
the
if
best
you're
that the genre
if
has
yeah done. If okay you're like, ah, oh, man, I've never played a Call of Duty, but screw Call of Duty. Just pull up your pants and play a Call of Duty already.
Yeah, because you were invariably masturbating. What?
Yeah,
I've never heard that
bottomless
expression in my
that's
life.
All.
I'm put on with your it big boy pants.
Put on your big boy pants, or pick yourself up by your bootstraps. I don't just pull up your pants. I'm imagining our listeners naked. I don't know about you.
It's fine.
Guys, we're all getting high off these Sharpie fumes right now.
Yeah, I shouldn't have used that Sharpie.
That was a dangerous.
But
game.
I mean, is there a, like? So,
what?
Is there
the only okay? I can't picture myself ever picking up a Madden game and being like, "Wow, this is fun."
But here, do you dislike football as well?
Yeah.
So, is there any franchise that you just don't like?
Oh, there's gotta be.
Well, just whatever it is.
One in the recesses.
Play
of
it. I've always not really hated, but I've always just not cared about Mega Man.
Yeah,
just never really cared. And I'm thinking about this. Maybe this year's the year I go. Maybe
yeah,
I don't. Maybe I
do
don't go back to the early ones because I don't have
Mega
that much
Man
pain
2
tolerance.
Is the best one.
Every platformer but I play, I hate.
Just
and I play many. I played Meat Boy. And
wait, I thought you loved Meat Boy.
No. What?
You hated it? Oh my god!
That hurts.
I liked elements about it that made it better than a lot of other platformers.
Don't try to.
But I still didn't
sugarcoat this stuff. I think that happened to me with Limbo. I was like, oh, everyone thinks this game's so avant-garde. And then I played it, and I was like, oh, that was pretty fun.
Maybe I'll play other tell. You know what? I should play an adventure game like Secret of
Are you not
Monkey
an adventure
Island
game fan?
Not.
Well,
of,
you just played
Walking Dead, but it's not. That's not.
Honestly,
that's
go not back. If you're in that camp and you don't like those, just go back and get the first season of
Tales of Monkey Island.
No.
Sam and Max.
Sam and Max. Yeah. Telltale Sam and Max games are wonderful. You can actually
like
pick up any season.
You can get them for a dollar now, too.
They're really good. And every time a new season comes out, I start playing them, and I'm like, I remember these being funny, but I'm sure it's juvenile nonsense. And then I'm laughing hysterically because it's actually super well written.
All right. I'll give that a shot.
Yeah. So those are the New Year's resolutions we suggest you follow to be a better gamer. Anyone have anything they want to add? Go to GamesRadar more.
Go to GamesRadar more.
Like us on iTunes or and comment on
iTunes. Review us on iTunes.
With the upvotes and
stumble upon our iTunes, dig it, Reddit, internet it, give us a Google Plus.
Give us a Google Plus.
I think
I still don't know what Google is.
One resolution should be you should try to do cloud saves whenever possible.
Until the cloud save
that's just
infrastructure
like
crumbles,
you should do.
Who isn't doing cloud saves at this point?
I don't remember to do it enough.
I don't do it as a rule.
What does that even mean?
I went well. For
save
instance,
your
no,
game.
That may, no what? Clouds. Like for instance, I went back home for the holidays and I was going to play Call of Duty, and I'm like, you know what? I could have used my cloud save, but I didn't use cloud save.
I use it as my default option. I didn't even realize
you can. That's an option.
Yeah,
I need to do that.
It's just like the number one that comes up.
That's
like
what I'm
cloud
saying.
Cloud saver HD.
Some people will HDD. Just go, oh, HDD.
When the hell is Steam actually going to get Steam Cloud working?
Dude, it works on like a good chunk
I've of games. Never had it successfully work. And it always is like syncing to Steam Cloud, and then I load it up on another computer, and it's like, nope.
Mine always works. I've never had it.
Oh, I am just a fucking failure. We're going to.
Your gear is busted, bro.
We're going to be right back with news, so stay tuned. All right, welcome back. Segment two. Jumping into the news. Not a huge amount of news over the last few weeks because it's been the holidays and everyone's just been, I don't know, not
working.
So what
that means is patents and litigation.
Yep. Sony patented a used game blocking tag system that essentially, from what I read, it's like you'll get a card with the game and you'll put it into your system and it'll like sync up to your account and then you can't, no one else could play it.
It's basically the evolution of the online pass.
It's a like simpler a online pass.
Yeah.
So just what everybody feared, the online pass was game publishers preparing you for when they just lock you out completely of used games.
Exactly. And not just used games, rentals as well. So
yeah.
Gamefly,
but who goes,
goodbye.
Okay. I was going to say, who goes to Blockbuster
snap.
Anymore?
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, any of the gray market, yeah. It's gone. Borrowing, like, I think I read a study once that it's like 60% of all games played are not purchased because you're borrowing it from a friend.
It's kind of messed up.
60%.
Do kids lend that much to each other anymore?
Yeah, they do.
Man,
according
kids,
to whatever
kids today.
Figure I just pulled out of my ass that may or may not be accurate. Some fragment that I've just conjured from the depths.
You know, I don't like the what the used game market, a lot of what the used game market has transformed into, but theoretically, like, in practice, the used game market should exist. Like, you buy that game, you should be able to do what you want.
Aren't you technically licensing the game?
Yeah, it's this whole idea of what you actually own. Like, I'm pretty sure in all of the EULAs or whatever, you don't own the PlayStation 3. You don't own the Xbox. Like, that hardware, you're buying a copy of the license. And, like, you can't legally, and I mean, there's a lot of talk about whether these EULAs are actually something that's enforceable in a court, so...
It's like a 90-page document, or something. Like, realistically, you should, it's all written in legal text, and you don't have to be over 8, like,
there's no real, valid way in which someone, a reasonable person can read and understand what all this junk means.
Mm-hmm. But I can't wait for, like, 2016, the Supreme Court case that sets a precedent for this.
there was recently a court case. I don't know much about it, but it was something to do with that. I can't remember exactly. I think it had to do with music or movies, but it was basically the same deal about used... or, like, the license and whether you own the license or what you're actually buying.
Well, that's also keeps coming up with, like, the streaming community, too. Like, how much money can you make off a game you buy, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing also is, like, this may actually be fairly irrelevant because of the whole streaming thing. Like, that, to me, is the better workaround because that's not pissing people off. That's not making them feel like they're being deprived of something because you're never actually giving them something. You're just kind of... you're subscribing to a service, and people understand what it means to subscribe to a service. They don't understand what it means when they buy something and they have something very tangible in their hands.
And it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work, or it doesn't legally belong to them, or they can't do exactly what they want with it.
I genuinely don't think Sony's going to do this right away.
I genuinely think they're going to do it right away, and I think within 2 weeks... Anonymous will have cracked it.
Maybe. I'm just, I just don't think that they're going to get this moving. I feel like from a business point of view, it makes more sense to have that slot in the PS3 and turn it on in 2 years. Like, doing that right away on day one.
Well, yeah.
You're gonna kill new console sales. Because people, you're gonna have a lot of people just not do it. But if you do it after a while, once people have already done them,
like,
you just flip
the
switch.
It,
yeah, you just make it all games from now, from 2017 on.
It's, well, I mean, that is, there is some precedence for that with the whole PlayStation 2 backward compatibility. Like, when the PS3 originally came out, there was that 60 gig model that could play your old PS2 games through software emulation, I think.
Yeah.
And then they're like, they released a
That was hardware emulation.
Well, there was one that did hardware emulation. Hardware.
And then the 80 gig did software.
And then
later,
then
none did it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and because I think it literally just had, like, an emotion engine or whatever the hell that...
Yeah, I think that's right.
It was just in the PS3.
One of the many reasons that system was $600.
Yeah, so I really expect... I expect this to become a thing next gen. I do not expect it to be a thing until 5 years from now.
And Microsoft is also... in the same spot. They have a very similar system. I can't... If this were 6 months ago and I was still a news hound, I'd totally be all over this shit.
Here's my greater concern for the...
But Microsoft still has the same thing.
My greater concern for the features in the next system that lock you out, like, is will all my XBLA and PSN purchases transfer to the next system? Like, I bought a lot of stuff on Xbox Live and a good amount of stuff on PSN. Those games, if my account is going to transfer and my achievements, hopefully, then all my purchases should transfer too. But I could see them going like, buy them again. We don't want you to have this for free. We want you to pay for Pac-Man.
I feel like if it has backwards compatibility, then everything will transfer. If it does not have backwards compatibility, then nothing will.
Yeah.
Because if they don't do backwards, that's essentially just back... what's the name of any XBLA games? For some reason, I'm blanking on literally. Shadow Complex. Shadow Complex right now is made to play on the Xbox 360 hardware. If the Xbox 720 can't play Xbox 360 hardware, it can't play Castle, or can't play Shadow Complex. Right. If it can, they have no excuse. But if it, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if the PS4, if they're just like, we're ditching backwards compatibility outright, there's no way those games would even work.
And I can kind of see Microsoft probably doing this. Like, I just because they have the whole integrated
DLC. They want to sell DLC for those old games on the new systems.
Yeah, but they're a software company, first and foremost. And I think that
DLC
the way
is
that they... Well, yeah, I know. To continue what I was saying, I mean, it's possible, yes, DLC, they always want to make a sale. But as far as creating, like, a firmware, like a Windows-like platform that extends from the Xbox 360 to the Xbox 720, like, they're really going to want to make that transition as easy as possible on people. And probably Sony will follow suit.
Mm.
I mean, hell, look at Rock Band, you know? Rock Band kind of set the... And I think Guitar Hero did this, too.
If you bought
Guitar Hero 3 DLC, you could play it in Guitar Hero World Tour.
I think Rock Band did it a lot more. Whenever Harmonix goes anywhere, they bring that wall of, like, 2,000 songs.
Exactly. So
it's like, you can play all of these in any game you
own. And you still use them Blitz as well.
Like, yeah.
NFL Blitz.
So, again, there is precedence.
Oh, that'd be so good. I feel like this is going to happen. I mean, if you're outraged at this and you have a Steam account, you barely have grounds to be outraged to begin with, because that's essentially the same thing.
At this point, it's
digital distribution, except you're getting a physical copy. That's all it is. You have that. Here's my thing, though. I want it. Let's say I buy a copy of Gears of War 6 when it comes out in 8 years. And I put that little card into my Xbox 360. If my disc cracks in half, I should be able to download that game. That game needs to be linked to my Xbox Live account, and I can download it whenever I want. I need to permanently own that account.
They would make sure it would work
like
that.
I mean, I think also that they need to... I mean, I feel like they need to give us something if they're going to do this. Like, they need to make... digital game, like you were saying, games easier to just, like, everything you can download day one, and just make it worth our while.
Wait, couldn't you just get around it by, like, trading PS3s?
No, because, yes, you'd have to trade PS3s.
That'd be quite a commitment.
I bet you they intentionally make next-gen hardware heavier.
Bastards!
Somebody literally cracks open the next-gen PS4, and it's just like, well, there's definitely actually just a brick in here. Literally a brick.
They'll make it like our Nintendo debugs, and have a Nintendo representative come and install your...
Literally just drills a hole in your TV stand.
It's like, table. Oh, where do you want it? Oh, that's a nice table.
Drill.
It's possible.
Other big news story. Another thing about people being outraged. Tomb Raider is going to have multiplayer.
People are outraged? What?
Outrage! Ah!
So,
everything has to have multiplayer.
How can you get offended at content I wasn't expecting,
because it
but
takes
we'll
away
get.
From the single player is what people continue to say for some reason.
Ignoring
the fact that Uncharted 2 was the best Uncharted despite having multiplayer.
Yeah, Mass Effect 3 is multiplayer. I mean, you wrote an editorial on this recently.
We may have a top 7 about something along these lines coming up next week.
Where multiplayer added into single player games typically isn't bad.
More times than not, it's fine.
And
there are as many cases of it being amazing as there are of it being horrible.
And I don't think I've ever seen, and I could be wrong, an instance where... Clearly, the single-player game suffered because there's a multiplayer component.
I was worried that was going to happen with, like, Dead Space 2. Definitely didn't happen.
Everybody's worried it's going to happen with every time this happens.
I was worried with BioShock 2. I was worried with Red Dead. It didn't matter.
It's like, never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can maybe make a case for, like, some game that also sucked, but we never knew.
Right.
Like, who knows if Call of Juarez, the Cartel, was going to be super good, and then they decided they needed co-op, and then that fucked everything over. Like, that might have happened, but there's a good chance it never did.
It seems wholly reasonable that... I mean, I'm trying to figure out why, other than we think the single player is going to suffer. It seems like a good many recent Tomb Raider games have been kind of meh.
I would say every recent, in my opinion, the last... run of Tomb Raider games were eights. They were totally great.
Some of them were worse. Some of at best eights.
At best eights, but they were acceptable. I think The problem with the multiplayer isn't that it's bad. They are good. It's just they don't do what they're intended to do. The real reason most companies, publishers, put in multiplayer in these games is to prevent used game sales. They see that nobody returns, not many people return Call of Duties immediately because they're still playing the multiplayer. So if we put in multiplayer, no one will return this either. And that's never it's rarely the case.
Right. I don't know. I feel like it is. Like, not to the extent that they hoped it would be, but I mean, if you bought Mass Effect 3 and you beat the single player and you didn't plan on replaying it, why not go and get $40 for it from, or $30 or $20 from it from GameStop, unless you go like, wait, this multiplayer is pretty cool, and then you keep playing it.
Right. And I mean, the vast majority of new game sales happen within like the first 2 weeks of a game's release. So if they can even extend the amount of time by just a tiny little bit, then that's probably a lot of money in sales. So even if Tomb Raider's multiplayer is just kind of cool, that'll probably keep it in people. Like, every day that they're keeping people, keeping those games off of the bargain bin, used game sales shelves. God, I'm fucking.
But they're not bargain bin. They're like $5.
That's more money.
Cheaper,
that's more money that they're getting in new game sales.
And I mean, half the time they're reusing assets from this. It's not like they're making a new game. Mm-hmm. They're usually
making new levels.
Yeah, they're making a few new levels. And then
I mean, there's network code and all that stuff.
It's not. It's not a small,
be like a separate team entirely.
Yeah, but either way, it's like it doesn't. It's never, as far as we know, like the harshest instance has been with Spec Ops, where the single player was pretty good, the multiplayer was mediocre, maybe a little worse, and then like the lead producer said that the multiplayer was the worst thing ever and that he hated that it was in the game. But it still didn't make it was a different team. The publisher just said, like, give us what you have so far, we're going to send it to some guys in over there, they're going to make a multiplayer, and we're going to shove it onto the disc. Yep. Didn't hurt the game. A story that's half, I guess it's sort of better news. I don't know. Well, THQ is obviously on death's door. Apparently, the new report says it may be dead in January.
It just got delisted from NASDAQ.
I was reading that they're trying to be bought.
So the way the bankruptcy works, I'm pretty sure it's Chapter 11. They're restructuring, which means that their debts are being discounted or forgiven. And the idea...
which is insane, if you
well,
think about
that's
it.
That's how bankruptcy works. There's no debtor's prison. Jesus Christ, what do you want?
But I was reading... There was a story we posted today. I didn't read through the whole thing that said, like, something was declined for them. Like, part of their bankruptcy claim was declined because they said they'd be... They were, like... they're going to run out of money in, like, mid-January. Mm-hmm. So they are dying...
Right.
And the rumor is Ubisoft is going to buy them.
I can see that.
What would Ubisoft be gaining there? They would get Darksiders. They would get Red Faction.
Saints Row.
Saints Row, because they do love their open world games, and this would be an open world crime game.
And they don't have, they don't have an open world crime game. They don't have a fantasy game on the level of Darksiders. And I think, too, that, like, they've always had, they're such a European company, they've always had trouble really cracking, like, American gamers, or what they making
really?
Games in an American style.
Assassin's Creed 3 is like half the characters look like there is some like weird
any
European
Splinter Cell game.
They're not failing at it.
Yeah,
but they could definitely use a boost when it comes to like
appealing to Middle America. More so,
flyover country. They need make games.
They need Alec Mason.
Yeah,
Alec Mason. God. Well, anyway, I just said
Alec Mason in that tone.
Well,
the man fucking saved Mars, all right?
Oh, wait, okay.
He wields a sledgehammer.
I thought you were naming the character from
Fully Destructible Environments.
I thought you were naming the character from Armageddon. That game is the worst one. Sorry, that was his son, whose name
Alex?
Was also Mason.
I forget their names.
Anyway.
Mason!
I picked
get in
Ubisoft.
Here.
I figured Activision was going to buy some of their stuff, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Ubisoft, it's just sad. Also, I read about THQ is that they owe WWE $45 million.
Nice.
Which puts them actually on the low list of people they owe debts to. But but that $45 million is because like they still have, I think it's mainly because they still have an exclusive deal with WWE to make games until 2018 or something.
They just recently re-upped that. And they partner with Ux, and Ux, WWE, and THQ are basically constantly suing each other.
yeah,
they've been doing so for the past 10
years. They can't agree
how
to make money out of it.
I know.
But it's always fun at every each annual WWE preview event I go to. There's always this happy group of Japanese people there who are from Ukes and just like posing with pictures with every pro wrestler. And yeah. They're just so excited.
So that's the.
But yeah, I think. Oh. I don't know. I'm just.
THQ's.
I think I would be surprised if Ubisoft bought THQ. But
I bet they'll start selling off.
I think it could be a fit, but I don't think that the culture doesn't look right.
I mean, they'd be buying like three developers.
I think they'll just start selling
off
franchises.
The Red Faction games, the Darksiders games, and the.
It would be really funny with
and Saints Row just don't really fit Ubisoft's kind of.
Ubisoft, there's one other game that's being made, the game that the dude, the former creative lead on Assassin's Creed, left THQ to start making, which hasn't yet to be announced.
Oh, right. The, what's that anyway. Guy's name?
Yeah. It's not the Guillermo del Toro game, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
Insane?
No, not that
Patrice left. Seth or something.
He left, he left after AC2 to
that's
make
right.
a game with
there's
THQ.
Like a, there's a huge, there was a lawsuit on that also.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm pretty sure Ubisoft is suing THQ that's because right. they violated their non-compete.
I think that,
that's hilarious.
I think I remember getting a press release that lawsuit was resolved.
Oh, really?
They
poached a significant amount of, I think it was Ubisoft Montreal's original Assassin's Creed team or something.
Yeah, so it'd be funny that maybe Ubisoft just wants to buy THQ to get those people back. Who knows?
There are
so
many
that they can promptly fire them.
Yes.
Day of.
That's what nobody leaves Ubisoft. We leave you.
Yeah. It's a boardroom full of people being shot in the kneecaps.
Fucking vindictive.
They're actually responsible for every bad thing that's happened to THQ.
Yves Guillemot will go to the end of the earth to just burn a fool. But yeah. Anyway.
That's it for news. You can check out news every day on GamesRadar.com.
Every day, except for Saturdays and Sundays.
Sometimes Saturdays and Sundays. Infrequently.
Occasionally.
If something breaks.
If something breaks, that's true. Also, we have a quick preview of Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which Henry saw.
That's right. I played it at a Nintendo event before the break, so memory's slightly fuzzy about it, but I remember it. It's a sequel to Luigi's Mansion, the game I thought would never come out, but... So you play as Luigi again, and with his ghost-busting vacuum, and you go around to three different mansions this time. Oh. One, at least three. I played through three different ones, and the main thing that struck me about that game is it is long. Like, it is going to be a huge 3DS game.
Which is funny, because the GameCube one, the biggest knock against it was like four and a half hours long, hours maybe.
It was super short. This one, especially for a handheld game, like, it's really long. Like, it's done in chapters. Like, they say... go to these five rooms and then beat this ghost, and then that's the end of the chapter, and you go to the next one. But there are so many collectibles. Like, I kept having to ask the people, like, I would find a golden dog bone, and I said, "What's this golden dog bone?" They're like, "Oh, we're not talking about that. You found that? Now we're not talking about that." And then I go somewhere else, and like, "I just found this purple gem." And he's like, purple gems are around there. And I was like, "I just found another diamond." And he's like, "Yeah, they're in there. Like, we'll talk about it later." Like,
maybe it's just an upgrade system of some kind.
Yeah, but it just struck me like there's like four different types of collectibles in that game. Like, there's a ton of replay value. You still walk around as Luigi getting things, and you also have like 100 hit points, which is kind of strange for Mario, but it's not a Mario game. It's a Luigi game. And
by God, Luigi has motherfucking hit points.
I also like that if you play the original Luigi's Mansion, in that you had the Game Boy Horror.
Sure did.
It was a Game Boy. But now you have a DS, a modified DS that you use to communicate with a guy, and that's called the Dual Scream.
Yes! Yeah.
And it's full of great...
This is the best day of my life.
It's full of great, awful puns like those. And it's not made internally
by
Nintendo.
You have no idea how happy I am, Lucas.
It's made by Next Level Games, the guys who made Punch-Out, their most famous for.
I think, wasn't the story, they literally just, like, they got their debug for the 3DS and made, like, a quick tech demo of Luigi's Mansion. And they're like, "Hey, Nintendo, look what we did." And they're like, "Finish it."
Yep.
Finish it.
And they've been working on it ever since. It's supposed to come out in early 2013.
Within the next few months, apparently.
Yeah, but it's looking really good. It's looking really good. I played it. It was one of the longest demos I've had, in especially of a Nintendo game. Like, I played it for at least 90 minutes, and I still didn't see the end of every section I could play. They're like, here's four sections. Play as long as you can, and then after 90 minutes,
play
like,
until you drop. That's basically what I got from that.
I don't know if that was a worse Italian accent or a worse Mario accent, but it really bothered me.
You went for it, Tom, and that's what mattered.
That was almost as bad as Ryan's Mr. Wayne impression. Mr. Wayne.
Nothing.
In general, though, the 3DS, it's so weird. The 3DS had other than Paper Mario, nothing really for the fall. And now early 2013 has Luigi, just from Nintendo, Luigi's Mansion, Fire Emblem, and Animal Crossing. Like, they have, the 3DS has a really good early 2013.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's good news, though. So, yeah, we're going to take another quick break. And when we get back, we have our community segment. So stay tuned. All right, and we're back with the third and final segment of our episode 20 of Radio Radar.
Last week's homework assignment was fairly unoriginal because we had just wroten. Did I say that?
Yeah, you sure did.
Shit. Just written a Mayan apocalypse feature saying, give us your gamer confessions, which got a lot of confessions that were delightful and lovely.
People, they took
and
it
so
to
then I appropriated that question for last week's, or I guess not last week's, 2 weeks ago, and we got a few. But the one I like, the winner, we're just going to skip right to the winner.
Cool.
hang on, I can't see the name for shit. So, Anti-Antagonist. He won.
That's just protagonist, by the way.
Shit.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling him,
right,
not you.
Right, yeah.
I'm not saying you read it
I'm
wrong.
I'm like, I need to do the
double negative.
The verbal math in my head. I have never completed a single Sonic the Hedgehog game and have only beat a few Super Mario games. So the reason why he won is because he has that confession, yet his gamer, like his avatar on our website, is Sonic the Hedgehog.
I caught that too. That was a really he just likes Sonic.
I wonder if he knew, like if he stacked the answer with it. And if so, that's impressive. Either way, it's impressive.
He likes Sonic games for 2 hours, and then he is done with it.
I don't think I've ever beaten a full Sonic game either. I'm probably right in that camp.
I've done it.
I've beaten them, I never got all the Chaos Emeralds, which is really beating.
You know what? Actually, that's not true. I beat Sonic Advance. Sonic Rush.
What about Sonic Adventure?
Sonic Rush is a good game. I may have beaten Sonic Adventure. I did beat Sonic Adventure.
I'm sure I beat Sonic 2.
That's
so,
a game
that's send us your send us an email at radioradar@gamesradar.com.
Wait, they don't know why they're emailing us.
The guy who just...
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy can.
That guy can. You can email us all day long.
We have various miscellaneous and sundry just random junk lying around the office.
And video games.
Probably some video games you'll get in the mail. I'm pretty sure I got a lot of like Steam and XBLA keys just lying around.
Yeah, Radio Radar at GamesRadar.com.
Still there?
Oh yeah, and I got like basically EA's entire list. They sent us
their 2012
just, like,
catalog. Yeah,
which those wild. Came with champagne. What happened to that champagne?
we threw it away because
there may have been an element of Magic the Gathering and champagne drink.
The bubbly.
Yeah.
Really?
It was the VGAs. We were here late.
Oh, you mean the VGAs where Henry and I were working and you guys were playing Magic and drinking?
Yeah.
You guys were playing Magic and drinking champagne
while
we were working?
Yeah.
That's literally a thing that happened?
Yeah. I nearly, very nearly expensed the pizza.
Wow.
I was so angry. Question of the week this week.
Good times.
What game did you play most over the break?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go first. It's probably a tie between Far Cry 3, which I beat over the break, and I did put at least like 12 or 14 hours into Persona 4 Golden. And I'm happy. It was actually a point where I'm like, I need to beat Far Cry 3 or else I never will. So I just sat down one day and just cruised on through it.
Grind it out.
And I still ended up doing, like, I climbed, like, all of the towers and got almost all the camps. I played a lot of that game. So that's me. What about you, Lucas?
I was a Mass Effect man over the break. I finally finished 3, and I had the extended cut, so I don't know what people were
complaining
about.
Did you also play through Leviathan? Because I heard that does make a difference.
No, and I didn't, so... I realized, so people were complaining to me that the Javik DLC from Ashes was like
essential.
Supposed to be in there. Yeah, yeah, an essential. And I didn't really, like reading up on it, I don't think I missed out on much. But there is a funny part at the end of the game, this isn't a spoiler, where you're doing like your final speech to your crew, and there's just some like random scrub nub amongst your beloved characters, and it's clearly a placeholder for Javik. He's just like some dude that I've never seen in my life.
Red shirt.
And I'm supposed to like care about persuading him to
say your last words. So that was probably what I disliked most about Mass Effect 3 was just that ham-fisted ending sequence where he was like, "All right, men, once more unto the breach we go." And it was just like Commander Shepard, and he would do one, and then somebody else would do one.
It was essentially the end of Return of the King.
I like
where it's like five ending speeches. There will be a day when humanity fails.
It's funny because Rex is like on a tower giving a speech to all these Krogan, and then he ends the speech and maybe it was a glitch. They just like stood there, staring at him, not like cheering or anything.
Who's Rex? Is he that guy that died in Mass Effect 1?
That's maybe in your game.
Definitely could have taken some pointers from Henry V.
But I love the ending. I was very satisfied.
Honestly, I haven't heard from one person that legitimately hated the ending that ended up loving it because of the extended cut. So odds are you would have liked it either way. The only thing it added is, you know how after the ending stuff, there's like a bunch of still images that just show like...
Yeah, but the narration over those images is really crucial.
It's added. Yeah. What about you, Henry?
Well, I was like you with Persona 4. I was all the way in Florida and could not... I used to be able to play console games when I was there when my little brother lived with my parents, but he since moved out this year, and so I could only play Persona, and I was doing that when I was hiding from my family or having trouble going to sleep at a normal time on East Coast time or playing it in the bathroom while hiding from my family and not wanting to spend time with them.
80 hours later.
In the tub.
I put 76 hours into the game.
That's a lot of family avoidance.
Family.
That's a lot of time on the toilet.
But, I also ate too much. Yeah. Anyway. It was a Persona, even if I had had a system with me, I would have played Persona the most. Like, I also brought my DS with me, but like after the eighth hour of Persona, I just told myself, nope, going to play this the entire time. This is what I'm doing. So,
I finally got to Dark Souls. No? You're shaking your head?
Go ahead. You can talk about Dark Souls.
So, I love Dark Souls. So, this is a thing I know about myself. I and I know this is constantly shat upon, but I really like trial and error gameplay. Mm. That, for whatever reason, is just very satisfying
to me.
And
yet you don't like Super Meat Boy. I don't understand.
Yeah, well, Super Meat Boy...
it's still
a platformer. The thing about platforming is it requires like a...
skill?
An obscene amount of tedium. And and it's the same kind of tedium all the time. But something like Dark Souls, you're constantly getting different types of enemies. Fuck you guys. You know what Dark Souls is. And I love it.
And now are you psyched for Dark Souls 2?
Yeah, I am.
I like Dark Souls? I hated Demon Souls.
You and I find
you rag on it all the time and you haven't even played it?
Whenever I've talked about hating Dark Souls, I've meant Demon Souls.
I think Dark Souls is easier than Demon Souls, especially in the beginning. Because I feel like in Demon Souls, I was just like, die, die, die. Shit, what the fuck, die.
I also found out that I chose a bad class in Demon Souls. That may have soured my opinion.
I found that there was a lot of cheap dying in Demon Souls. Dark Souls is a much... better game, so
maybe that'll be my play a genre or franchise I hate for 2013. Maybe I'm going to give Dark Souls a try.
Yeah, give it.
It's a franchise I hate. Try.
So one thing I will note about Dark Souls though is up until I can't remember where I think I was in like Blight Town or something, and I wasn't using any walkthroughs. I wasn't doing any of that stuff, and I can't remember why, but for whatever reason, I looked at a walkthrough for something, and I saw that there was, like, if you are in human form and you do something, then somebody will spawn. And that just fucking flipped me out because I'm like, oh, that I would have never, ever thought to do that. And so
Wait, in a good way? You were happy or you were like,
no, I was pissed off because I'm like,
You need to look at a guide for that.
I don't. Yeah, there's no way I would ever figure that out without spending like 400 hours with this game, which I'm not willing to do.
You've just talked me out of playing Dark Souls, by the way, in that quick
in
instant.
And out.
I mean, it's not something that's like particularly...
that was my nickname, by the way. Yeah,
it's not particularly integral to the game. Like, you don't need to do it, but it's just like, oh, that's cool, and I don't want to miss it. And
I'm out.
Like the fact that you're, you know, creating a situation in which I will miss it. Especially for something just so ridiculously arbitrary like that.
I mean,
but I mean, yeah.
It's not the first game to have secrets like that.
I know. And I hate it. I hate them all. Fuck them all.
Is that officially?
What?
Officially fuck them all?
Probably not.
Okay. the words expressed on this podcast don't blah, 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 employer.
Right. Et cetera. But still. So I guess where I was going with that is if you're playing Dark Souls, just don't use a walkthrough. You'll have a very good time. All of the fun in that game is figuring it out for yourself.
How are the bosses?
Bosses are awesome. I just killed a Hydra.
Because when I played...
All right, so the bosses are what make that game.
Because in Demon's Souls, I hated the bosses. Because there was one boss where it was essentially like, oh, you're melee? No, you have to get a bow and hide behind this column, man. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's the dumbest stupid thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
So the character models in Dark Souls, just the amount of creativity and just like the fucking weirdness that goes into them is just truly impressive. The scale of the bosses is truly impressive. And tactics are pretty interesting. So
I'm half back on.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
What did you play it on?
It's PS3 only.
No,
Dark Souls. Is it on the 360?
I'm just wondering. I'm wondering how bad the PC version is.
I played the PS3 version.
I thought
it was
it's
horrible.
It's not that it's bad. It's just that people wanted it to be.
I've heard that you literally need to play it with an Xbox controller. Like it doesn't. Apparently, the like controls
I can see
don't
that.
Work.
I can totally.
A
see
Japanese
that.
Company doing a bad PC port? What?
I would not use mouse and keys.
Just because I figure that it's probably like $8 on Steam right now or something.
Yeah.
15 to be exact.
I mean, it's like a the movement would be off. There's a lot of like. I don't know, movement that you need a thumbstick for.
Maybe I'll just get it on Xbox.
I mean, you could just plug in a 360.
I have big picture mode on my TV with an Xbox controller, so I can do that. I'm just wondering if... I'll look into it, not on the podcast.
That's fair.
So, if you go on to GamesRadar.com, find this podcast article, and tell us what game you played most over the break, and if you didn't get a break just the last few weeks, we're not going to be picky.
Right.
You may win a prize.
You may win a prize, some just random shit we got lined up.
You can only win one a year, but this is the new year.
One a year, yeah. New year.
Yeah, so check
Happy
us out.
New year.
Happy New Year, everyone. Check us out on Twitter at GR Radio Radar or just Games Radar. Check us out on Facebook at Games Radar, on iTunes, on the internet, on Instagram, everything. We have everything.
You could, like, scribble on a piece of paper with crayon and then, like,
crumple it up
that
and
to
throw
a,
it.
Tape that to a rock. And then just take that rock and throw it
into the ocean,
and that'll be effective.
It will. That's Games Radar.
And you will win the next prize.
So
just have to mail us your mailing address on another rock,
a separate but equal
just
rock.
Basically, just keep throwing rocks.
Just never stop throwing rocks.
Make sure you're not in a glass house.
Correct. Talk to you next week. Oh, this is a mess. This is
wow. You
why that was the most backward way we could have done this.
Could not have done that before.
All right. These are all video games.
Okay. Which is a better simulation of its subject? Oh man. You know what? I got such an easy
None of these
play here.
Makes sense.
So John Madden Football is in my hand. But I am not going to play it.
Okay.
Because what I will be playing
Congratulations.
Is a blank card. Now,
wow.
This blank card fully represents what the subject of nullity has to do with life in general. Because as you can see, it represents nothing. And there is nothing on this card save for some borders and some non-filled-in game year published date. So basically what I'm saying here is this card is as if I were playing the game. Like, it's the same experience, reading this card and playing a game.
Existence is meaningless, kind of.
Actually exists in the real world. That's what I'm saying.
Henry?
Well, I pulled out Metagame, the card, so... you know, this game, using this card in metagame is a lot like using metagame itself in the game metagame.
That's pretty good.
I'd say it's pretty meta. That's all I'm going to say.
That's literally, it's as if those two cards were made together.
Yeah.
I went with Breakout because, before we came in here, I was listening to some Diana Ross, I'm Coming Out, and she said it's time to break out of the shell. That's exactly what this game embodies.
I don't think Diana Ross sang I'm Coming Out.
I played Rez because, you ever do LSD? Anyone? Anyone?
No.
Can't say no?
I would thought figure it'd be more like ecstasy.
Anyone ever do ecstasy?
It's a bucket list. So anyone? I was just reading, there's an excellent New York article on
ecstasy?
Yeah, kind of. Well, not ecstasy, okay. More LSD.
Okay.
It has to do with the Army's weapons program during...
Right. Vietnam.
Chemical weapons program during the Cold War. And they took LSD like mad.
Yep. And do you know why?
Because they were hoping for a way to incapacitate the enemy without killing them, thinking it would be more inhumane.
I thought they were going for, like, fear... sensors.
Actually,
well, that would incapacitate.
You're both wrong. They did it specifically because they wanted to play Rez, but they couldn't yet.
Wow.